Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned, because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome, welcome for part two. If you've just been listening to the hour before, I had a great, I'm so excited to introduce you to Craig Richardson today and to introduce you to a powerful, powerful message, his show, as well as his journey. And for those of you out there, let me just say this. I get the honor of working with all of our hosts and co-hosts, and it is really uplifting. And I learned so much, you know, about what works, what doesn't, how we can be our best people. Craig, of course, is an intuitive life coach. He offers his services in hypnotherapy, dream work and analysis, relationship strategies, and he understands the inner workings of things, like the inner workings of us and who we are and how we can step into that space and understand what holds us back, what we need to move forward, and how to use all of the tools and training that he has gone through to move people forward. And in today's world, we need some tools. We need to know how to do that. We think we've got it, and then we find ourselves in interesting scenarios and situations which we didn't see coming. And from all of that, it's about building up the greatest and the largest and the most available toolkit you can find. Today, we're going to take a journey from mind to heart. And what does it look like to have this amazing family, career, and spiritual path, what the journey has been like for Craig, and what he's bringing to the table to help all of you. Craig, it's great to have you. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Pat. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Well, you're getting ready to kick your show off. So that's really,
I am, and that's a thing. You and your folks behind you have been wonderful to work with the last couple of months now. I guess it was October that we first signed this up,
yeah.
And it's great. So I'm ready to go. New year, new show, right?
And it's a powerful show. I mean, I'm gonna talk to you about one of the questions I've been asking people for. Well, now we're in 2021, so it's 17 years. But it's one of the questions I came out of the gate with then. And it had to do with my own stuckness. When the show wasn't the Dr. Pat Show, it was crust busting your way to an awesome life. And I realized how literally stuck I was. And this opportunity came along to really do something I'd never done before. But here's the question. I mean, I just barely touched on all the things you do in the world. But it doesn't come without rising up, pulling yourself up out of the potholes. What are some of the challenges and obstacles you had to overcome to bring you to this very moment?
Well, I think we all face that. In alchemy, they have a term as above, so below, or so internally, so externally. And so I think your question is not only how do we as an individual face these obstacles, but let's face it, we as a culture have faced these very same obstacles. I mean, I was born in the early 60s. I know you're a little bit older than that, but you know, our whole lifetime has been nothing but a series of challenges and in some ways questioning the official narrative, because what has happened is that what goes on and what we've been fed sort of externally didn't line up internally with who we are as human beings. And so for me anyway, I grew up in a traditional home outside of Boston, Mass. My family had been in Massachusetts in 16. Well, I had ancestors on the Mayflower. I had Irish ancestors that came in. So we'd been there a long time with the same kind of messaging. And, you know, you need to get a good education, a good career, and a good college, and then you get your house, and then your wife or house, whatever order, and then the kids and the dog, and in the end, I don't think as we sort of evolve consciously that was enough for us. It may have been enough 100 years ago, you know, particularly 100 years ago that you had the Industrial Revolution where everybody was actually working, they didn't even have time to think. But I think that's one of the luxuries of where we are. And it's not the luxury of our technology. It's a luxury of our human consciousness that we actually now have the time to question, hey, are these narratives, is this who we are as humans? I mean, is this what we're supposed to do? And I think that's a lot of the obstacles that you mentioned and that we all endure in a spiritual journey are bumping up against those narratives.
And I think too, when you talk about that, we really are bumping up against them. And, you know, let me ask you this question too. You know, your path, your journey, right? Your movement through life, you know, sometimes people see us and it sounds like we have just gotten on one of these water slides and just slid our way through. But what was your journey like? Where did it start for you? And how did you know, or perhaps when did you know, that thing that you just said, that here you are moving right along, on the outside you look really good, but there's something not getting fulfilled?
Well, I think part of it, you know, for my journey has always been to find out the truth or what it all is. And I think for a while, and Carl Jung talks about the two halves of your life. And that first half, you're sort of setting yourself up. You're following that same script I talked about. And then at some point you have a midlife crisis or as somebody I read at the time said, a midlife transition, which is a little softer way of saying it. And Carl Jung says in that second half, and when you go through like what a caterpillar goes through to become a butterfly, it's a very painful time. So the underlying drive for me has been just to kind of figure it all out. And I thought, well, I come from a political family and I thought it was politics, which is what I ended up in Washington. And then it doesn't take very long here to realize that this, you know, this isn't the answer. But I did try to follow that script. I did get, you know, I had married, I had children, but there's always been an element to me. And I think the best way I can describe it is what my father used to say to me. He said, there's a right way, there's a wrong way, and then there's Craig's way. And, you know, I've had an element of that. And as I look back, one of the courses I took recently was at looking at your own mythology, your own personal history. And I have a grandfather who was, you know, I don't know how many generations of Richardsons. And he, you know, he went to Harvard and the whole thing. But instead of, you know, marrying the Endicotts or the Peabodys, he went out and married a first generation Irish woman in the 1920s. And not only was it sort of a class thing, but it was a Catholic Protestant thing. And they had to elope. They had, and my father was half Catholic, half Irish, half English, half. And I look now, the more I kind of come out now on this, and I look back at my own mythology, my own family, I look to him. He actually, I didn't know him. He died in March of 1961. I was born in June of 62, following year. But I have as I went through and cleared out my parents' house, they passed away my mom last year and my dad a couple of years. I came across a lot of letters that my grandfather had written. Mm-hmm. And I sort of started to look at him as a man and what he went through. And I saw a lot of symbolism and a lot of similarities between me and him. And for whatever reason, you know, God put us on the earth to do, you know, sometimes you're meant to be one of those to go along, get along, and sometimes you're not.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, isn't it fascinating when we look back? I know I went through the same thing with my family and and finding out a lot of things I didn't know from letters, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and they were so insightful. But there was an intuitive sense of knowing, let's say. You know, there's some intuitive sense. And I talked about this, you know, as well as you being an intuitive coach. There's this intuitive sense of that. What have you discovered along the way to help you follow that intuitive sense? What have you discovered about that?
Well, I think when we talked about the initial programming from the culture, one of the things I think is missing is there's lots of names for it, whether it's materialism or utilitarianism. But one of the things I discovered as I had my first child was that we are not just a body. And so I think the first major discovery is that we are a mind, body, and soul. Yeah. And what you find out in the mainstream culture, if you want to call it that, is that they really, in our healthcare system has a problem with this as well. And it didn't always, but for the last 70 or 80 years, it's only looked at us as material, flesh and blood, organs, cells, and we are so much more than that. So I think the first step is to discover, hey, we're a trinity. We are mind, body, and soul. And if we only deal with one side of this, if we only deal with the material aspect, we're missing 2/3 of who we are as a human being. And so for me, I found actually, ironically, a friend said, I converted to the Catholic Church officially in 2000, and my friend said everybody else was leaving then. So again, Craig. So for me, I that's when I had a sort of a spiritual, transition for me. And I got a master's in Catholic theology at the time because I was very interested in the church. I'm a historian. I love history. So the church history was a whole nother layer. I knew American history like the back of my hand, but in Western European history, but to look back at 2000 years, I found fascinating. And then, you know, the traditions of the church and the saints, I really kind of fell in love with some of the saints and the orders, as well. But what I realized was that spirituality, at least for me personally, and I think for everybody, whatever that might look like, is an important component of our journey. Cause I think that's that subtle, small voice that ultimately drives us out of the corporate world. It drives us out of the law firms.
Yep.
It's even if it's opening a bed and breakfast in West Virginia, whatever, that's that little quiet voice of God basically saying, this isn't what I created you for, basically.
Yeah. I find this interesting too, because in 2000, fascinating year, right? I found myself, grew up Catholic, right? Dominican nuns, Catholic boarding school at a young age, got thrown out of Catholic boarding school at a young age, because I claim to have I claim that Jesus in the ninth station across talked to me, which in fact was an interesting idea because it actually did happen in that way. I mean, honestly, it was one of those stories. I'm in church, I'm looking up, I'm 6 years old, and all I heard was your mom is with me. And you know, long story short, when I got to Mother Superior, she had a note. My mom had just died. But here we go. 2000, left the church, but I came back. But I came back differently, right? And when we come back from break, I want to talk with you about what it looks like when we revisit things, right? When we have an internal transformation and we see things differently, what does it mean to step into the full nature of being a spiritual being? Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back with Craig.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death from debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kuyper as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind. Anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss every first Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit BeyondProof.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you a feminine entrepreneur and you're tired of being stuck in the making just enough money trap? I hear you. I'm Julie Steelman, and I just released a brand new masterclass about how to unlock the three secrets to creating a financial breakthrough in your business. Come on over to calledbyfreedom.com. I'm going to walk you through the three things you need to do to create that financial breakthrough you've been craving. Come on over to calledbyfreedom.com.
Are you ready to become an unstoppable force of love in the world? Then don't miss the Creative Empowerment Show, Invoking Radical Love with Rachel Chase, live every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Rachel shares tools, stories, and meditations to spark the flame of profound wisdom within you. If you want to awaken your superpowers and activate your heart, visit RachelChase.com.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance through joy and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at jenniferbloom.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on right here on the Dr. Pat Show. I want to just tell you, I'm really excited about Craig and the show he is getting ready to do, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. Today, what we're talking about is, what does a journey look like? What does it look like, mind to heart? What does it look like, a family, a career, a spiritual path? What does that look like? What are some of the experiences that we have where we learn from it, and then we have to make a decision? Where do I go? Do I go left? Do I go right? How do I make decisions about my own spiritual nature and what it means to be, this earth skin person that's really spiritual? What does all that mean? And also, you're going to get more of Craig Richardson in his fabulous show, the second and fourth Friday at 9 Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Craig, how do people find out more about you? And are you excited about the show?
Oh, absolutely. You know, this is a new year. We have, fortunately, 2020 behind us. 2020 is hindsight, right? So now it was a little blurry last year. I think this year is going to be my buzzword and my Sesame Street word of the year for this is going to be clarity. I think, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I think we're going to have clarity this year, and it's going to help us do exactly what you said, is to find out which direction to go in. And, you know, hopefully my show will get into some of those things with myself and then the guests that I bring on there to present that. To answer your question, my website is craigerichardson.com, and you know, everything there should be there in terms of my contact. And I just put up a page over the break for Heart to Mind. So there's a tab at the top and they can find all that.
We're going to talk about this in a minute. We're going to talk about Heart to Mind and what that means, because it's important for us to take that journey and look at that. But you and I, during a break, I was sharing about my Uncle Ralph, Benny met him. And that was the show where Benny had to bleep out the Italian cuss words.
That's a common adjective. But
I know, right? Look, we go through this life, some of us, and I wanted to be a nun. Yeah. I know Benny's like, what? I really did. I was a really young kid and I just loved what I was learning, right? As a Catholic, Italian Catholic, right? And I loved it. But it got to a point where I didn't love it anymore, mm-hmm. especially when you get to the point where you know what's going on with you and you're told it didn't. But the point is this: one door may shut, but it doesn't mean we shut ourselves to our spiritual path. Can you talk about how that was for you and how it led you to where you are today?
Sure. And I think part of that mind to heart as well is to be open to what ultimately Carl Jung describes as synchronicities, and to use that, like a phrase that I'm sure you heard in Catholic circles was, you know, when God shuts a door, he opens a window. And I think you have to be open to that. I think as I said before, that first voice that you're hearing, that uncomfortableness, and maybe it's during mass or maybe it's something. And when you start getting those pangs of, you know, I have plenty of friends that have, you know, still in the church and they love it. But if that you're one of those people like, you know, this there's something not adding up. And I'll talk a little later. I had that same kind of experience after 15 years. And then I went on a whole bunch of different things. But I think you first have to be honest with, I mean, spirituality is such a personal thing, because it is really a relationship personally with, you know, God or the universe or infinite, to whatever you want to call it. And it's different for everybody. And so I think the first thing you have to do is to be open to listening to that voice, even if it goes against, you know, the culture and your family and everything else, because as you were describing with your Uncle Al, you know, who had all the crucifix all over the house,
yeah.
And he said, I'm leaving. Now, we had the same thing with the picture of the Pope and the cruise. And there's a lot of trappings that come with it. I enjoyed that, you know, when I first joined in there. And the saints itself, I love the saints, like I said. They're like your you know, they're like the Avengers. I mean, they were your heroes, right?
Yes, that's it, exactly.
And I think you can still hold on to that. But I think you need to listen to, you know, for me, I went to daily mass for a long time. And I did love some of the trappings. But for also, And that's for me where the mind to the heart. I think as I started getting down that journey, I wasn't resonating sort of spiritually, and I wanted more, and I wanted different things. And I still think you can do that. And some people bring in some Eastern religion, and they'll bring in yoga. But like I said, I think for everybody, it's a personal thing, and they need to. But the most important thing is you have to listen to that voice. I wish, and maybe your path would have been different, and maybe it was the right word. But I wish when you said, my mother, I just heard my mother through the ninth station, which I should know. I can't remember which one that is, but
it's when he falls down for the third time.
Oh, the last time.
The last time. And when you see it in the Catholic Church, right, he's looking, right? He's got the cross and he's down and he's looking. And I was right eyeball with him. And I heard the words, don't worry, your mother is with me. And I pulled on Sister Michael Anthony, right? Like, yeah. And you know, because my parents forgot to pick me up over the weekend. So here I am. I'm this little kid. And you know, on the weekends, they pray. We're in church a lot. And I'm right in there. And I just pulled on her. And boy, she never liked me to begin with. I'll tell you that right now. And then she dragged me to Mother Superior. And I walked in. And Mother Superior, I'll never forget. I could tell you exactly what she looked like today. And we walked in. And Sister Michael Anthony was like, blasphemy, she's doing it again. She's telling everybody she's talking to Jesus. And Mother Superior lifted up her head and her tears. And she had a note. And the note said that Anna Basile passed away.
Mm.
Right? And it was November 22nd. And so that then presents a problem, doesn't it?
Well, and it breaks my heart to think of you in that situation. And think about if you had that same scenario, only when, even before you found out, she took you outside. She said, hey, we got to go through the stations. And she talked to you about that. And so, well, what did you hear? I mean, think about what would happen if she empowered you. Oh. I mean, one of the things that we do with our children is we try to make them conformist. And actually, kids are the most intuitive. And you'll hear plenty of people that had spiritual, or they had messages from the other side, or they were clairvoyant, and we kind of beat it out of them, not physically, but we that's crazy. But think about it, if you, instead of doing that, you embrace them. I mean, that's their creativity as well. And we said, you know, that's a wonderful thing, Pat. What did he say? And I mean, that would have been a far different experience for you if they had done that. And instead, and that's where I'm talking about bumping up against the conformity of the society.
Well, you know, what's fascinating about it, I look back from that, and it wasn't the first time. And you know, the reason that this was such a thing, right? First of all, I'm underage in a Catholic boarding school, one of the toughest around in New Jersey, right? And I was there because my mom was really, really sick. And later on in life, I found out what really went on with her. But here you are, and you may be hearing the voice of the God that you believe in. Whatever that is, you really may be hearing it. And you're absolutely right. What if we were to empower those that do hear this? What if we were to do that? Isn't that a large part of your journey and where you're coming to today as well, Craig?
Yeah, because again, I came out of that mold of the Northeastern. I know not too far in New Jersey, Massachusetts. It was that. It was, this is what you do, like I described. And at least for me, and it's in you as well, if you look at your career, it wasn't enough. And so, but I don't want to underestimate that the entire culture is going through that. We're going from this, I read Maureen St. Germain's book over the summer called Waking Up in 5D. So the whole culture, whatever you want to describe it, but we are transitioning from a 3D polarity division, you know, do it my way or the highway, sort of male patriarchal top down, to a much more horizontal love, compassion, harmony. That's what this is. This is what this transition is. It's not going to be easy. It probably go on beyond, past our lifetime.
Yeah.
If you believe in reincarnation, we actually signed up for this time. I like to joke with people that I'm going to have a long talk with myself on the other side. I mean, I couldn't have picked the Renaissance and been a king or something, and maybe I was. But anyway, this is not a time for the faint of heart. We've had to make, as we make our journey, and this is what I hope my show can do, we need to help and show and lead others that it's okay, and that the best thing you can do is to be authentic to yourself, because in the end, that's really all that matters. Because if you're not happy with something, then you need to look at it, and you need to figure out why, and you need to move on.
I want to talk to you about this when we come back, because what I'm noticing is, and I did a little, I don't want to call it a study, but I did a little probing, investigating. A friend of mine made a comment to me once, and I think it was like not last year, but 2019. And they asked me, they said, Pat, what do you make of all of this de-demonizing and humanizing those that we know to be evil? For example, the devil, Lucifer. And I thought, wow, that's an interesting thought. And then I sat down and I looked at what our pop culture is doing. And I want to really tap into the energy of this, because what is the expression? Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Fire, yeah.
And when a generalized population of humans start to look at a different side of things, I often wonder, is it the chicken or the egg? What has come first? Are we getting seeds of consciousness planted in us? Or is it the other way around? I'm going to have Craig talk about that. I can't wait to have him talk about it. Maybe you could talk about what Edgar Cayce thinks about that. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back with Craig Richardson.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Learn how to lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories that teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, MilesToGoCoaching.com.
Tune in to the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show, Heart Change Consciousness, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. I am so thrilled to be talking to all of you. We have got talk radio for all of us. Are you ready and willing and able to accept all of the abundance you can muster up in your life? Yes! Check us out at drpatshow.com, transformationtalkradio.com, transformationradio.fm. Oh my goodness. Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dream that sets your soul on fire. So get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
What would you do with the power of community? How do you create your own rituals? Tune in to Living Your Gifts with me, Susan Huff, Ancient Applications for Modern Times, the second Wednesday of each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Our lives begin with the stories we are told and the stories we tell ourselves. Storytelling is the key. To learn more about me, visit LivingYourGifts.com. That's LivingYourGifts.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. And I'm so excited about Craig's upcoming show. We mentioned it to you here, but we're going to mention it again. And I want you all to know it's every second and fourth Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. That's also noon Eastern, I should say that. Craig, before we go ahead, how do people find out about you? Because I want them to also get involved in the work that you're doing, because, you know, you are truly on a journey and you've studied and you practice and you really have taken in some of our heroes, the Carl Jungs of the world, Joseph Campbell's, the hero's journey. but you're bringing that to your show as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Again, my website is the best way now, craigerichardson.com. And I have a link there to a menu on the top that'll get to the show. But, you know, we're all on a hero's journey or heroine's journey. Joseph Campbell, for those who you don't know, he taught at Sarah Lawrence School for 40 years. He probably didn't grow up too far from me. He was in New York area, I think. Mm-hmm. He too came from a big Irish family, maybe Irish Catholic. And, you know, he said his buzzword was bliss. He said, when everybody boils it down, what do you need to do to have a happy life? He says, follow your bliss. And his bliss was studying mythologies across the world. And he was pretty early on. I mean, there's a wonderful Bill Moyer series that I had to watch as part of my last mythology class that was filmed in 88 at Luke Skywalker Ranch, which was George Lucas's ranch. Joseph Campbell was a consultant to Lucas on the first Star Wars movie because it was that's why that movie was so popular, because there was so much archetypes and mythology wrapped into that we hadn't seen as a culture in a long time, but it resonated with us because it's part of who we are. So Joseph Campbell says, basically, follow your own bliss, follow your bliss. What is that? And he ended up in, you know, probably came from a large Catholic family. I don't think he had any kids. He studied this all the time, taught at this college, and he lived in Hawaii on the ocean. So, yeah. But his point is that as he looked at all of these seemingly diverse cultures around the world, they all had the same stories. They might have been told in different languages, Sanskrit or Mayan or what, or even Catholicism or the Bible, Judeo-Christian, but they're all the same stories. And that's why they still resonate with us, because they are us.
Yeah, and you know, this is really what I was referencing to before when we were talking is, you know, this is a chicken and egg question for me. It's are we the generators, the idea generators, or are we being given seeds by which to follow? And you and I were talking during the break, and you know, I'm just absolutely in awe by how our pop culture now is looking for heroes and superheroes. And if you think about the movies that have come out over the past, I'd say 7 or 8 years, and the trend of those, right? We really want to find the heroes. And you know, in 2020, we found a lot of them. Mm-hmm. We found a lot of heroes, right?
Right.
Do you think when things happen, like what happened in 2020, I know for me, it took a really devastating thing in my life to crack me open. What do you think about that? Do we have to go through that level of pain to transform?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was an athlete in my earlier life, and they used to say no pain, no gain, right? That was I think there is an element to that. And again, I go back to Carl Jung, who was one of my favorite people who I came across in my studies, who talked about that and that half, that midlife of your life. And you know, we call that midlife crisis, but there has to be an element to that, I think, in order for you to come out the other side, because the more that you're entrenched in things that really aren't who you are personally, mm-hmm. the more difficult, the more the severe the pain is to get out. And I hate to say it, but it may be a marriage. I mean, there are so many changes that come along that may not be fulfilling you to find your own bliss. And then I'm not saying, you know, people should do that without much thought about it, but there is that, I mean, you're not the same person anymore. So, but the other interesting thing that Carl Jung talks about, which is ironic as you talk about pop culture, because so he says, as we go through that, our process is a process of individuation. In other words, we're becoming the individuals that God intended us to. And it's only when that we get to that stage of individuation, I might be an artist, you know, my real love is art, it isn't, but, you know, or I might be a pianist, or I might, you know, I might like poetry. And I suddenly realize that's really what fulfills me. It's only when you get to that point that you can actually become part of a community. That's the paradox, is that the more you become individual, the more able you are to become part of a community. And I think the challenge, what we talk about with the pop culture, and why I say that's kind of a challenge, is because that's trying to almost do a one size fits all. Social media has, everybody says, oh, we're really in tune and we're in play. It's really a very easy thing to manipulate. It's a very easy thing to get people to, you know, buy into and rate and judge themselves based on a post. And that's not, I don't think that's what Carl Jung's talking about.
No. And, you know, let's stay with this thought for a moment, because I know I get asked this, and I wonder if you get asked the same thing, Craig. When people looked at who we were, me, my corporate experience, corporate executive, independent consultant, really known for my reengineering skill, I totally reengineered all of the utility systems here in Snohomish County, PUD. Benny, I bet you didn't know that. They see that part of me. And I get asked, I don't get asked much anymore, but I used to get asked for about 10 years, my first 10 years, what the heck happened to you? What did you do? And my friends, right, from the East Coast, from Jersey, what did you do? Did you find Jesus? What happened to you? You know, how did you go from that? Then you go back to school. Then you study this depressing thing. And then what are you, positive talk? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, for the first couple years in my relationship, and I started to pay for airtime, like a lot of money, they wanted to send me to talk to a psychoanalyst or something. But it felt so right for me. People stay the course with follow your bliss.
Well, I think you've described, and I probably won't do it justice, but Plato has the concept of the cave where everybody's kind of facing inward inside a cave, and that's humanity. And you were ones that dared to go outside and say, hey, you know, that's not that reflection and all that, or that's just a reflection. There's a beautiful world out there. But if you're still stuck in the cave and you're looking in the wrong direction, it's very threatening for you. You've undercut their whole worldview. And fear, as we're seeing a lot of going around, is the most powerful weapon to keep people entrenched in where they are. So again, I think they just have to be daring enough. They don't have to, I mean, you're a pioneer and you're a trendsetter, but they don't have to go out and start their own network, but they have to take baby steps. I mean, if you're in a corporate world and you're not fulfilled, then try something on the weekends, go down into a homeless shelter, or go take care of adopted dogs or something. I mean, do something where you're giving back. That's the whole thing. It's not about profits and it's not about climbing the corporate ladder. In fact, it's the exact opposite. How can you help somebody who's downtrodden or just needs a smile? I mean, you can do it just walking down the street.
You're so right about that. You know, when I moved to Seattle, I was disappointed at four different levels. I thought I was going to go to UW. They shut down the program. I didn't. I was rejected by every doctoral program except one, and they put me on a waiting list. So I sat in Seattle, drank coffee, and walked my dog and rode my Harley for a year. My friend dragged me out of the house and said, you're going to work with me. And little did I know that what she did was sold vinyl siding. And I was the go-to front person, got bit by two dogs in the experience of doing that. But I got out, and we're living in extraordinary times. I want to ask you this question because you got out too. And what I mean is you got out and said, I'm going to do this. And you launched an intuitive life coaching practice. You work with people all over the world. You do dream work. You know, you stepped into that. Do you recall having an aha moment? Or was it like me and I dialed the wrong phone number and I just decided to pay 10 grand to do a radio show?
I don't know. I think I'm still waiting for the actual aha moment. So we'll have to check back on me. But for me, it was, and I left the Catholic Church in 2015 because of a lot of reasons, you know, where we discussed, where I just didn't feel fulfilled. And so I guess one thing I never had was the 5-year plan or the 3-year plan. I just kind of went, I mean, I had a consulting business in public affairs that kind of kept the lights on.
Yeah.
But it didn't require a ton of time. I could do, you know, as we all sort of started going much more virtual. I mean, I've been sort of doing virtual forever, but you know, I was able to have that extra time. And so I made the mistake of, if I ever had too much time, I started Googling stuff. That's how I got into hypnotherapy. I found alchemy. I found the Bhagavad Gita, ultimately the Spiritualist Church, Edgar Cayce. That all came from intuition, from, you know, Googling and finding programs that I could sign up. And you know, I was just kind of becoming a sponge and learned. And suddenly I turned around at one point. I said, well, I have certification in hypnotherapy. And, you know, I have a master's in transpersonal psychology. Mm-hmm. So it just seemed to fit what I did. But as I said, I think the best thing to do is to not script it too much. Just try to follow, you know, follow your bliss. And for me, it's the beauty of our time is couple of keystrokes and you can find what, if you want to learn how to plant flowers, you know, my kids learn how to play guitar off of YouTube. I mean, if you want to, learn something today, it's so easy.
Yeah. I learned how to practice my ping pong strokes off of YouTube. It's the best thing ever invented. I want to ask you about this, and I think I want to go ahead and skip the break, Benny, Olivia, if you don't mind. I want to jump to mind to heart.
Okay.
I want to talk about mind to heart. And I love how bold that is. And I would expect that from you for a lot of reasons. I sat across from Gloria Steinem a number of years ago when in my HR career, and thanks to Linda, I got to have lunch with her. And I remember how nervous I was. You know, years later during the show, I ended up giving her an award, but I remember how nervous. And I looked into those big glasses, you know, like Gloria Steinem with the glasses. And I said, I'm stuck. Now, this is at a lunchroom table. My boss is there, right? But I really was. I was at a point where my 24-year career, going from the mailroom to an executive, I was emotionally stuck. And she looked at me, Craig, and she said, I challenge you to do something outrageous every day of your life.
That's a great
I challenge one. You to do that. And that was my takeaway. Some days, doing something outrageous means not something enormous. But for me in that moment, do you think here you are in your life that the energy of doing something outrageous, is that what's leading you to bringing this powerful message of mind to heart? What are you sensing is your call now in the world?
Well, it's a good segue for me to give you an explanation where I came up with that name, and you and I worked through it a number of ones that I'd come up with.
Yeah.
So I was at one of a spiritual event. I went to Arthur Findlay, which is college in the UK, which is kind of the Harvard of the mediums, the spiritualist church. And I was in a week long program there. And part of my journey has always been the intellect. It's always been asking why and how does this work? And I'm a big, you know, I love those international spy movies, you know, about who, you know, the dies double crossing somebody else or, you know, and great times to be alive, by the way, right now. But but she kind of looked at me and laughed because I was asking a bunch of things. And she said, let me just boil it down to you. Our spiritual journey is a path from our mind to our heart. And it's that simple. And you need to get out of your head, basically. We spend so much time, in particular us, maybe I'm a little bit more on the introverted side, and that's why I go spend Google time. And I love to just, like, I used to love to read and figure stuff out. And like, why is that? And I think what she was saying was, no, that's not it. That's, you need to get out of here and you need to get in here. And then I studied some of Dr. Joe Dispenza, who I'm sure you know.
Oh, yeah.
He talks all about that being a neurological thing and that there's just as many intellectual cells in your heart as there is. And that's where your intuition is down here a little bit or up here too. But you need to listen to that. And so that what I'm hoping to do with my show through some of my own training, my own experience is to bring on guests that can, who have made that, or at least are on their way down to their heart that they've, and I think you're a classic example that you left the corporate world. You could have been the, you know, Fortune 50 CEO or whatever that you could have done that, but you didn't because you listened to your heart.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that sort of like, you know, okay, I'm gonna listen to my heart and I'm gonna give up my mortgage and leave my house and my kids.
Right.
I mean, so there has to be a balance. That's my first warning. And it can be baby steps, like Gloria Steinem was telling you. I think the outrageous thing, that piece of it was probably, and hopefully we're segueing out of that, because it was outrageous to do something against the common narrative, the popular narrative. Now I hope it's not as, I hope it's, you know, in 2021 now, I hope it's not as to be as outrageous to try to follow your heart.
And I'm with you on that. I really hope that. And this is really, let me just call it this. This is for me as I think about 2021, and every year I go through this, and I don't know if you have a practice that you go through this. And, you know, I think about, I have a vision board, right? I don't call it a vision board, but that's what people know it as. It's been very powerful in my life for me. I could, if I had more time, I would share stories with you about this thing. Of course, I put lights on it. You could see I'm a twinkly light person.
I can see in the background.
I know. Well, you should see what's going on over here. Olivia would have a fit if I had this kind of lighting over here. But here's what I want to talk to you about in the time we have left. I've been through a lot of things in my life. 2020 is one of them. But what I've seen in humanity, despite what's in the headlines, despite what we're seeing in our political agendas, despite all of that, I'm so struck by the heroes that have come forward. Some mm-hmm. of them have lost their lives.
Yeah.
You know, this weekend, we had a personal, what we thought was going to be a personal tragedy here in our family. Mm. And it didn't turn out to be like that, but it's going to be in the near future. We're going to lose somebody really close to us who's been around for a really long time. And the reality of that was hard. Three of my friends lost family members to COVID. But yet we're seeing the best of humanity in places. How do we cultivate more of that, Craig?
Well, I think one of the keys, and I don't want to sound trite, and I'm sorry for what you're going through, and I know a number of people are, but I think the best thing, and I tell all my clients, is to turn off the news, turn off the social media, and because I think what that's, you know, as we try to live more out of our heart, that's not our heart, and as we try to live in 5D, that's not 5D, that's 3D, and I had to do this myself because I was, you know, I grew up in politics, I lived 30 minutes or 15 minutes from Washington, D.C., I realized that it got me angry one way or the other. And I realized that, you know, my role and all of our roles isn't to be here and to be angry. And let's face it, they're selling advertisement and they do a lot of that on purpose. So my first advice is to, because I think, and I may sound like a small point, but I think once you do that, then you can see that there's this wonderful world out there. And a friend of mine gave it up over the holidays. And I just saw her yesterday at church, at the Spiritual Church. And she's like, oh, that happened. Oh, I kind of forgot. And you suddenly realize there's more time in the day and you're suddenly waving to the mailman. And I mean, so I think you need to do those things, whether it's turn the media off, spend time every morning meditating, take some of these ancient practices, and then just try to be there for other people, because I don't think that has ever changed. We talk about the World War II generation. I mean, our heroes, I think it's one of the songs that I love, Gordon Lightfoot sings, or somebody, heroes often fail. Mm. They fail by modern standards or by the culture standards. It doesn't even have to be modern. You can be in the Reformation period or whatever. But the heroes are the ones that are willing to do what nobody else is. And that's what's happening with COVID, as you mentioned, the healthcare workers, and they're going in every day. They're in the front lines. Our soldiers before us did that. I don't think any of that, and that's what Jesus says quite plainly, love knows nothing greater than to lay your life down for a friend. And we all do that. Mothers do that on a daily basis, fortunately not laying their life down, but family members do that for each other, and friends do that. I mean, that's authentic living. That's 5D living. That's living from your heart when you do things for other people, because that's what it's all about in the end.
You know, it's interesting we're talking about this because I was given a gift many years ago, and I think this really calls to your show. And I want to just take a moment. You have a show on Friday, so let everybody know about that. Let's talk a little bit about what the first show is going to be about, if we could.
Sure. I am delighted. We talked about the hero and the hero's journey, and yeah. I had a wonderful mentor. Her name is Ray Mathis. She is a Renaissance woman of all sorts. She's a Southern Baptist, found Edgar Cayce somewhere along the line. Actually, I didn't realize until I saw her bio that she was literally a rocket scientist. She and her husband are rocket scientists with NASA. But somehow, you know, as the Gloria Steinem era and your era, she got into this kind of spirituality when there were very few women at all getting into this. But she also has a wonderful background in history, studied Carl Jung as well, Edgar Cayce, Joseph Campbell. So she's going to help me frame the entire show. She's going to talk about the hero's journey from somebody who's really not only studied it intensely, but she's lived it. And I think it's a wonderful first show. She does a lot of astrology now. as well. And she sends these monthly newsletters out. And so she's going to talk about what it means, what a hero's journey is, what the importance is, why we are all living it in a way, what that means for us. And then we're going to get into her own journey, which is a fascinating one.
Yeah. I'm excited for you and I'm excited for your show. And I'm so glad that you made that decision to take this out into the world. I know for me, in 2004, 6 months after the wrong phone number, and then being approached by this station, KKNW, before we launched the network, I didn't even think about it. The answer was going to be yes. The first time I got behind a mic and literally went in, sat across from Benny, who's here today, this is our 17th year together, it was like breathing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still like that to me. I'm more excited today about what we're doing than I was 16 or 17 years ago. What excites you as you look ahead? What excites you most about your journey now?
Well, it's I saw this image of a baton, and you, the women like you and men for that matter, but my mother went to work when I was in kindergarten and she had to for financial reasons, but
yeah.
It wasn't like a thing that, I have to do this to express myself. So I look at women like you and others that have come along. I mean, I almost feel like for us, it's like you guys have already paved the path, and now we have the technology to do it with the Zoom and everything else. So I'm really excited because I think that when I did my life's purpose work with Ray, it was another course I took with her, I came up with a symbol that part of my role is to be a torchbearer, a light for others. Gemini have Mercury in the first house, a whole bunch of stuff I learned about. Mercury's all about communication. So, I mean, that's why I'm here, is to help other people really take the baton, and not that you're giving it up, but to take at least a hold of that baton and continue to walk forward and to get people. That's why your network is so beautiful. It's to make that decision to live an authentic life, to follow your bliss. And that's what I hope to bring to people through the show.
You know, I am so looking forward to what you are going to bring, because I got to tell you, Craig, this is really much needed. I was going to leave the show 6 months after I started it in 2004 from the pressure of my relationship, and you should be making money with your doctorate. You shouldn't be forking out tens of thousands of dollars. You've lost your mind. And I started to doubt myself. Now, I now know the way spirit works. When you're on your right path, it's going to be hard to leave it. And I came down with a mystery disease.
Mm.
I couldn't do anything but this. So that took away that. But today we need other messages in other ways. And I think that's, you know, for me, I know that's what you're doing. As you look ahead, what is your personal message for today?
I think with all that's going on, the message is hope. I mean, it's not a lost hope. I mean, it's not a lost cause at all. We have come so far. I mean, and again, that gets back to not buying into the official narrative. We've come so far, you know, and realize that we have some time and some places to go, but, you know, embrace where we are. And, you know, we're going to be okay in the end. And there are going to be, just as there always are, there are going to be people that aren't going to make it. And we need to pray for them and be with them, but we're going to be okay. And this, I hope this show is going to be a message of hope. And the hope is what you just talked about, doing and lining up with what it is that you were meant to do, because when that happens, you're going to have plates flying and everything else. But if you're doing what you want to do, you have a smile on your face. So,
yeah, it's like my Uncle Al said, the secret to good eggplant parmesan, it's in the olive oil. That's the takeaway for today. Craig, thank you so much for joining me. One more time, how do we find out more about you? Please let folks know. Give us that information.
Sure. The website is craigerichardson.com.
Craig, thank you so much. Looking forward to your show on Friday. And the other thing I want to say to you is it's exciting to see what you're bringing to help all of us remember who we really are. That is, I think, our greatest opportunity and could be our greatest challenge. Thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And also, I do want to say thank you so much for setting me up on Friday. Like I said, I've just walked through the door. Everything's been set up by you and your staff. So I really appreciate everything you've done. So thank you.
Yeah, we have a great team of people. I get to be me because Benny pushes all the right buttons and Olivia knows how to get the frame on here going. I'm simplifying it. They have to learn a lot. Craig Richardson, Benny Mathers, Olivia's on our Facebook interface. All of you, you are the best listening audience in the world, and we are bringing it in 2021. All right, everybody, we'll see you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.